That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. So thank you, Brian and Sarah, for doing that. And, you know, that is such a classic poem. All of us have probably grown up with hearing that, having it read to us, and now probably many of us read that to our children. We've seen it in movies. It's just a classic thing. And as I was going through this, I said, what's the story behind this? Who wrote it? When did they write it? So I did a little bit of research. Maybe some of you know this, maybe some of you don't. It was written by Clement Clark Moore in 1822. Now, Clement Clark Moore came from a very well-to-do family. In fact, his father was part of George Washington's first inauguration. Clement Clark Moore originally wrote this, and it was called A Visit from St. Nicholas. He wrote it for his kids. Well, he actually didn't even turn it into the local paper to have it published. It was a family friend who got a hold of it, turned it into the paper, and ever since then it has been translated into numerous languages around the world and has become a Christmas tradition. Now, there's more to Clement than just writing this. He was a pastor's kid. He was a Hebrew scholar. He was an author. He was a real estate developer in Manhattan, but he will always most be remembered for this poem. And I think one of the reasons why this poem has lasted all of these generations is it really speaks to the heart of Christmas. It speaks to what the heart of Christmas is all about, fulfilling and furthering the theme of love. And that's really what the heart of Christmas is about, isn't it? It's about fulfilling love and furthering love towards those in our life. Well, when we go through Luke's gospel, and we've been going through Luke's gospel now for all of Advent, we're going to see how Luke really describes the heart of Christmas and how God continues to fulfill his love and further his plan. So as we go through Luke 1, just to give you a little bit of background on where we are, Luke introduces us to a family, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth are a little older and they are told they can't have kids. Well, one day Zechariah, who was a priest, he goes into the temple and the angel Gabriel says, "Your prayer has been answered. You and your wife are going to have a child, and you're going to name him John." Zechariah says, "How can this be?" And then the angel says, "Well, now you're going to be quiet until your wife gives birth." Well, we know that Elizabeth runs, and Mary, they get together, and they are just so excited about what God is doing because the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and told her what was going to happen, how God was going to work through her. And we've gone through Elizabeth's song, we've gone through Mary's song, and now we kind of end with Zechariah's song. And so there's really two main points that we want to make from this text when we understand the heart of Christmas. It says this: his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days." Now, I want to stop there for a minute. You know, one of the things that we learn from this text is if we go back a little bit, when Zechariah and Elizabeth were expecting and John was born, everybody asked Elizabeth, "Well, what's his name going to be?" And most people assumed they would have named their son Zechariah after their father. Well, Elizabeth said, no, we're going to call him John. And people said, "But you don't have a John in your family." Well, finally, after all of this silence, Zechariah speaks. And he says his name will be John. And he began to praise God and praise God and praise God. And the text tells us that people were filled with awe. Everyone who heard this wondered about and asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." And I think the question that these people raise is so cool for Christmas. It says, "What will this child be?" Not, "What will this child do?" We are defined by what we do, instead of being defined by who we are. See, we're called human beings, not human doings. I know this feels, especially at Christmas, that we are human doings because we keep doing and doing and doing and doing. But we're called to be human beings. And so what we have to understand here is that filled with the Holy Spirit, God is going to speak through Zechariah, and he's going to reveal what he's doing. And what God is doing is he is breaking into the lower story from the upper story to unpack his plan. And for those of us that are maybe new to Three Timbers, we're going through something where the upper story is what God is doing. It's what we can't see. It's God behind the scenes. It's God moving through history and through people to redeem his people. The lower story is our lives and what we see here in the lives of Scripture. And so what we see here is through the power of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah is saying is, here's what God is about to do. He's about to fulfill his promises that he made. You know, Christmas is a lot about being fulfilled. I know tomorrow morning, every child wants to wake up tomorrow morning and hoping that Santa fulfills their every wish and has everything they ever wanted under the tree. How many kids are hoping Santa brings them something? Can you say yeah? Oh, come on. Y'all can speak louder. Kids, let me hear you. Are you hoping Santa brings you stuff?
Yeah!
There you go. There you. Well, thank you. That's my son right there. I'm in trouble. Now, the goal of every child is that they hope Santa will fulfill their dreams. Now, we know that Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had to be fulfilled because they had a child, John, exactly what they always wanted. But now listen to what God said that he's going to do. He says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people. Zechariah is praising God because God has come to his people. God has visited his people. Whenever God comes to his people, whenever God visits his people, it's for one of two reasons, blessing or judgment. When God comes to his people, he's either coming to bless them, or he's going to come to judge them. Every one of us is going to have that moment where we're either going to receive God's blessing or God's judgment. Now, we know here that this is blessing. We know that Zechariah is praising God because of the blessing that he's receiving. And then he reveals that in verse 68, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has come to his people. That God has come to redeem his people. God is coming to save his people. Not from a political or a military problem, but from the greatest problem the world has ever and will ever know, sin. Sin and its consequences is the worst problem the world has ever and will ever know. And Zechariah is saying, God is breaking into the lower story and he's come to save us. He's come to redeem us. And what he's come to do is fulfill his promises. You know, we've talked that the story of Christmas, it's not about us, but it's for us. It's not about us, but it's for us. It's about God fulfilling his promises specifically to Abraham and specifically to David. Listen to what God said in Genesis 22. Speaking to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. God made a promise to Abraham, and it is fulfilled in Christ. He did the same thing to David in 2 Samuel. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus fulfills the promises of God. And that's what the heart of Christmas is all about. The heart of Christmas is God fulfilling his promise to redeem his people. And that's what Zechariah is praising God about. He said he has raised up a horn of salvation from the house of his servant David. That horn is a representative of Christ. Animals who have horns have power. And God has the power to break into the lower story of our life and to save us and redeem us. And that is done through Jesus Christ. And that's what the heart of Christmas is about, is that God is breaking into the lower story to say, you belong to me. I love you. I'm going to send my son to redeem you. He says he will save us from our enemies. The greatest enemy that we have in life is sin. Sometimes we deny that the enemy exists because we're a good person or we're religious or we're in church. This is an enemy that we can't beat. We cannot beat sin, but Christ has. Christ has defeated sin. And the heart of Christmas is about the forgiveness of sin, that we can remember that God remembers his covenants. God is faithful. God fulfills his promises so that we can serve him peacefully. See, that's the heart of Christmas, that God is fulfilling his promises. But there's also a second part to the heart of Christmas. Zechariah now says to his son, John, this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So Zechariah is telling his son, here's what you will be. He doesn't say, here's what you will do. He says, here's what you will be. And what you will be is a prophet of the Most High. You will prepare people to receive the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And one of the really cool things about John, as we'll know him as John the Baptist, his birth symbolizes the fulfillment of God's promises and the furthering of God's plan. John fulfills what we find in Malachi 3:1. He says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." See, God is faithful. He fulfilled his promises, and through John, he's furthering his plan. The heart of Christmas is about God fulfilling his promises and furthering his plan. It begins with John, but it doesn't end with John. We are called to further that plan. One of the agencies that we partnered with this year was the Hope Center. And many of us, almost all of us, know of Ty and Terry and the impact that they had on this community. And for those of you that attended or even watched online for their celebration of their life, one of the themes was to take up the baton. Take up the baton. That's what we're called to do. John was who God was working through to prepare the way. We must pick up the baton and help prepare the way for others to receive the promises of God, to be part of God's furthering his plan. And that's what Zechariah is saying. He will prepare people to receive the Lord, to give his people a knowledge of salvation. Do you know what a knowledge of salvation is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. That's exactly what John was talking about. John, repent and be baptized. It's about understanding the forgiveness of sins. See, the heart of Christmas is understanding we need saving. We are all broken. We are all lost. We are all sinners, and we can only be saved by the power of Jesus Christ. And see, what God is unpacking as he breaks into the lower story is, I will fulfill my promises, and I will further my plan. And so John would share with people the truth of salvation as we are to do. And the reason that John does this and the reason that we do this is not because we're so good. It's because we understand how bad we are. None of us deserve the gift of Jesus Christ in our life. You can't earn salvation. You can't do enough good works or be religious or say enough nice things. Those are great, but that doesn't give us salvation. It's because of the tender mercy of God. God is so merciful. God is so loving. God will forgive you and forgive me. See, we often think about Easter when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness begins at Christmas, from the cradle to the cross. And that's the heart of Christmas. The heart of Christmas is about the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. He says, by the rising sun, which will come down from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness. That's talking about Christ. You know, we get one service a year here in the dark. This is the only service we get all year because we meet Sundays at 10. But we need light. We just couldn't turn all the lights off. People will be falling down. We need light in our life. We have night lights all over our house. I'm sure you do. Many people have lights, Christmas lights up on their house. But we all have lights to help us in the darkness. That's Jesus. He's the light to help us in the darkness of our marriage, of raising our kids, of beating addiction, of trying to get right with God, of just trying to find our way in life, how to deal with grief, how to deal with stress, how to deal with loss. Jesus Christ is the light. Christmas is about going from darkness to light. Jesus is the light of the world. That's the heart of Christmas, that God has fulfilled his plan, his promises, and he's furthering his plan. You know, one of the songs, and we'll see it all next day or two, is about peace on earth, goodwill to men. We all want peace. We live in a world that It doesn't have a lot of peace sometimes. And I looked up some of the lyrics to that song, and I want to read them to you. It says, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be." If peace on earth is to begin with us, then we must understand the heart of Christmas. And the heart of Christmas is about God fulfilling his promises and furthering his plan to redeem his people. If we understand that peace, if we accept that peace, then you know what? There can be peace on earth, because we first must have peace with God before we can have peace with each other. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He gives us the ability to have peace with God and peace with one another. And then we can have the peace, as the lyric says, the peace that was meant to be. The peace that was meant to be is that all of God's people and all people understood God fulfills his promises. God is faithful in redeeming his people. And that God is furthering his plan to redeem his people through Jesus Christ. Brian and Sarah did such a great job of reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas." They did an amazing job. And really what "Twas the Night Before Christmas" talks about is the theme of love. The theme of fulfilling love and furthering love by the presents that all the kids will find under the tree tomorrow. But what Luke is talking about is a different kind of presence. It's the presence of Jesus Christ in our hearts. That we've accepted the heart of Christmas. We understand it's about fulfilling and about furthering God's plan for redemption. So I want to encourage you. You now know what the heart of Christmas is about according to Luke's gospel. We've talked about the promise of Christmas. We've talked about the blessing of Christmas. We've talked about the gift of Christmas. And tonight we kind of end our give it away campaign as we talk about the heart of Christmas. But that doesn't mean it ends here with us. When we leave here, we've got to go give it away. We've got to give away the promise to people that God will fulfill his plans. We have to give away how faithful God is and that God is furthering his plan through each and every one of us here tonight. The heart of Christmas. Give it away. Amen.